Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Awaken Us. First, I would like to give thanks to the Creator that leads, guides, and directs us in all things. My journey has turned into an eye-opening awakening, and I am here to share that awakening with you. This talk show will explore who are we? What's the difference between a person and a son? What is our purpose? Why do we hold certain beliefs? Why do we tend to see ourselves and others in a certain way? Why do we act the way we do towards ourselves and others? And what does any of this have to do with the events we experience in our world daily? I would also like to thank everyone of you for your support you're giving me, my LinkedIn connections, my Twitter friends, my Facebook friends, my WordPress friends, my Goodreads friends, and many more. Thank you for your emails, your text messages, and your kind words. During the show, I will read from my book, He Lives, A Living Testimony, second edition with added preface and edited back cover. Every 3 months, I give away three of my books through my website, www.awaken-us.org. You can click the link to enter and win. The giveaway starts this month, and the winner will be announced once a month. I am promoting a message, not just selling a book, and it will be a gift that will keep on giving. As always, I do invite you to visit my website for all information on upcoming events, study, videos, bookings, and news. The Awaken Us platform will air researchers that address our collective human experiences, both good and evil. The natural laws versus man's laws. Did we break the first commandment of God when we took on a false identity from birth? Do we really own anything on this earth? Do we have free will? In words, how many meanings can a word have, and what words have we learned that keeps us in bondage, slavery? Stay tuned in for all of our studies, then show yourself approved. This Sunday on Awaken Us, I will read from my book, He Lives, A Living Testimony, Preface Part 8. And we will continue with researcher and teacher Mark Tassio of www.whatonearthishappening.com. This seminar series explores 20 points that will give you insight on what it truly means to be awake. He will continue with points 16, 17, and 18. Being awake does not mean you will not experience negative emotions such as anger, sadness, worry, or frustration. These emotions are there to be worked with and worked through. Religion keeps people from taking action. Righteous indignation is good. Being awake is knowing what true forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not forgiving people that do not admit that they are wrong. You need to tell people when they are wrong. This is the only way to stop their bad behavior. A psychopath doesn't care about your feelings. Forgiveness is when someone says, "I was wrong," and you accept what they say, and then they don't do it again. Reconciliation can begin. Letting go is not forgiveness. This pre-recorded seminar series is called What It Truly Means to Be Awake, Streetwise Spirituality. The seminar series will continue for weeks to come, so do come back to get all of the information that will uplift and inform the human consciousness of us all. Points 1 through 15 of this series can be Purge on my main website at www.awaken-us.org. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Hold on, I'll be right back. Dismissing myths and strongholds, one mind at a time.
For immediate release, learning our part in the Creator's plan, He Lives, a Living Testimony, has been published by Outskirts Press. Outskirts Press announces the latest version of the highly anticipated, motivational, and inspirational self-help book from Decatur, Georgia, published by writer Sharon Pelham. Mrs. Pelham's most recent book to date was revised in March 2019 with added preface and edited back cover. This revised 5x8 paperback book is available worldwide on book retailer websites such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The webpage at www.awakeus.org was updated simultaneously with the book's publication relaunching.
Part 8. I don't regret reading the Bible because I now know where the lies were told and are able to discern the lies from the truth. I suggest you read it because it will tell you many things. It is the word of the Creator mixed with the lies of men. Men's words can have many meanings, but you must study the etymology of words, where they come from, and what they really mean. The ancients defined many of the words we use in the English language today, like authorized and original, which do not mean genuine or authentic. We learn these words starting in kindergarten and beyond. Remember how we had to learn to spell those vocabulary words in the spelling bees? They were a deceptive way of putting us under the spell of what we call life on earth. Word magic is the name of the game. Preface, Part 8. What's on your mind? Let's take it to the word. Call me. Dial 516-531-9476. All callers are screened prior to airing. Mark Passio's body of work is a result of many years of extensive research and investigation into the nature of our shared reality. Through his presentation, videos, and podcasts, he takes us on a journey of self-exploration, examining human consciousness and the way it relates to the universal problems which we currently face as a species. Mark is a presenter with a message of spiritual awareness. He is now taking a proactive approach to the task of spreading this significant information to others in hopes of penetrating this information into the realm of human consciousness. So the next voice you will hear will be that of Mark Passio. Get your pencil and paper, study to show yourself approved, and do not leave your salvation up to any man. Hold on.
Thank you so much for being here today, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a great day today. I'm going to be giving a seminar here entitled Streetwise Spirituality: What Does It Truly Mean to Be Awake? And it's going to be a lot different than what many people think of as the awakening process. There's going to be a lot of points in here. I'm going to cover 20 main points as to what is true awakening, not pseudo-spiritual awakening as we may hear about in the New Age circles. So that's the title of the seminar. But before we actually jump into the material, I'd like to give a few caveats regarding what I do and my presentation style in general. So the first thing people should keep in mind is that you will not be seeing or hearing anything, quote, new here today. As the old saying goes, there is nothing new under the sun. You hear that, many people will hear that phrase but not really understand what was meant by that phrase, that old phrase. What it means is that the truth is singular and eternal. It is not going anywhere. The truth has always been with us. It has always been there. It will always be there. Okay? All I can do personally as a presenter is get up here and present this information in some sort of a personalized format or framework with my particular style and my particular aesthetics applied to the presentation, which is what I'm going to do here today. My personal presentation style has been described by some as very intense. Now, for people who may not be familiar with my work, by a show of hands, how many people are completely new to my work? Completely new to it. That is phenomenal. That is fantastic. Okay? Now, with that having been said, you don't have any prerequisite information that I've put out there. So you have to understand, this presentation is like an amalgamation. It's like a coming together of all my former material. Okay? So with that having been said, it would probably behoove you to go back to my older material and check that out. And you could do that at my website, whatonearthishappening.com. I always tell people, go to the podcast section of that website and listen to the podcasts in order. If you do that, that opens up a worldview, a tapestry will emerge from that information from doing it like that. It's a stepwise progression. But there are people who have described my presentation style, and rightly so, I don't disagree with them, as very, very intense and sometimes even combative. And I don't really make any bones about that. It's true. Some people here today may be very likely to get upset or angered by some of the things that you'll hear me say, and that's fine. So be it. Okay? The fact of the matter is that the truth itself, by its very nature, is belligerent, especially in the time of deceit that we're living in. Okay? Because truth wages war against mind control. And that's what I'm here to do. I'm waging a war against the forces of deceit, against the forces of darkness, against the forces of mind control in this world. Okay? I do not present the information that I present to be liked. I don't care who likes me or who hates me. I'm not interested in that. This isn't a popularity contest for me. All right? I don't do this to make money, because I certainly don't make a whole lot of that. Actually, I do this to make the real money, not the fake kind, if people know what I mean by that. Money, though, as a word, means one eye, mon eye. I do this to make real money, not the fake Federal Reserve note variant. Okay, but I also, I don't really want to do this with my time. This isn't what I would prefer doing. I have a whole lot of other personal interests I'd like to be pursuing. I do this because I recognize that in the time that we're living in a time of such overwhelming ignorance that exists in the world and such overwhelming deception that is going on all around us, the fact that I understand the information that I do understand places me in a position of moral obligation to communicate that information to other people in an attempt to help them to understand it as well. So that's why I do what I do. Every person who is here today and wishes to take real value away from the seminar, which I would assume is all of you, after all, you are making your time available to be here and you spent money to be here, should make a conscious effort to do two specific things while you are here. The first is to try as much as within your ability to set aside your personal perceptions of me as the presenter. And I know that can be difficult. But this includes setting aside things like how you think I personally look, how I dress, how my voice sounds, okay? Paying attention to trivialities like that are only going to distract you and detract your mental focus away from the information that is being presented, which is the important thing here, not me. I'm not the important thing here. The information is what's important. And the second thing is try to be consciously aware of any impulses that you may have to reject information based on emotional response. And that's also quite difficult for people to do. That's why I try to make these points consciously, at upfront, okay, so that you're holding those ideas in your mind as we proceed. You cannot think about this information with your emotions. So you may hear things that anger you here today. It's a logical fallacy to gauge the truthfulness or the veracity of any information that you hear based solely upon how you feel when you're first hearing it. That is a trap that you can fall into. So that's why I try to make people consciously aware of it right from the jump. The last thing that I want to bring up before we start is that this seminar is a tapestry of information that is meant to be taken in as a whole, not separate or in individuated chunks, okay? It's a tapestry of information. It's designed specifically to be seen in its entirety. So I highly encourage people to gain the maximum value from the information I'm going to present here to stay for the duration of the whole seminar, at least the presentation part of it. Okay? We're going to do an extended question and answer session after my presentation. But if you stay for the whole part of it, you'll recognize the pattern that I'm trying to make clear here. Okay? If you don't stay for the whole thing, more likely than not, you're not going to see the entire pattern that I'm trying to lay out, and then you're not going to gain maximum value. All right? So with those things, those caveats having been said, let's jump into the information. So what this whole thing is about is what does it truly mean to be awake? We hear this word a lot, right? We hear the word awake. He's awake. He's awake to what's going on. You know, he's not unconscious. He's not asleep. She's conscious. She's awake. Okay? Well, what does that really mean? And people have different thoughts about what that means. There's whole communities of people that think that that means completely different things. All right? What I'm going to try to do is present a brand new perspective on what this means. And people are going to hear some points that they probably never would have considered. All right? So I consider what these points are describing real spiritual awakening. Not, a pseudo-spirituality that is all too often presented as being true awakening in the modern, quote, New Age communities. All right? So the information that I'm talking about here has real-world, practical, applicable value. All right? It's about spirit in the flesh. That's the balance that I'm trying to strike here today. We're not about our head way up in the clouds, okay, without our feet firmly on the earth. That, see, this image represents in the Hermetic philosophy what was known as the stellar man or the stellar woman, the being that is of the star matter, okay? They are deeply, deeply awoken, and they understand real spirituality. So their head is in the cosmos. Their head is in the stars. But where is their feet? It is planted firmly on the earth. The work that we are to do is to be done here and now, not in some hereafter, not in some other dimension, not in some other time. It is about the here and the now. So that image is another image, you know, that I want to set forward as an archetype for today. Spirit in the flesh. Work being done on the ground, even though our mind is of the cosmos.
He Lives, the Living Testimony, is 50 pages in length and is being aggressively promoted to appropriate markets with a focus in the motivational and inspirational self-help category. With U.S. wholesale distribution through Ingram and Baker & Taylor and pervasive online availability through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and elsewhere, He Lives a Living Testimony meets consumer demand through both retail and library markets with a suggested retail price of $12.95. Additionally, He Lives a Living Testimony can be ordered by retailers or wholesalers for the maximum trade discount price set by the author in quantities of 10 or more from the Outskirts Press Direct Bookstore at www.outskirtspress.com/bookstore. For more information or to contact the author, visit www.awakeus.org.
Being awake does not mean that you never experience so-called negative emotions such as anger, sadness, worry, frustration, etc. Okay? The negative emotions are there for a reason, folks. They're not to be purged. This is not the goal of awakening or enlightenment. It's to purge all negative emotion and never experience it. If you believe that, you're still asleep. All right? Being enlightened does not mean that that someone has purged all negative emotions and exists in a state of permanent tranquility. Sorry about the typo on my slide. I'll fix it later. As a matter of fact, that is probably a surefire sign that you are still asleep, if that's what you believe, that all the negative emotions are there to be purged. Negative emotions are not something that is there to be purged, or they wouldn't be there. Okay? They're there to be felt and experienced and worked with and worked through. They help work you through the situations that we are in. Particularly anger. This is one the New Age movement doesn't want you to have. They don't want anger to be there. You know, the state doesn't want anger to be there either. Okay, because they're trying to keep you tranquil. That's why the state gives you religions. Okay? The entrenched powers that be, the powers that shouldn't be, are the ones who have constructed the religions of passivity. They're the ones who put these religions forward as mind control techniques to prevent people from taking action, to change things, and to end the condition of slavery that we are in. So they gave us these religions that just propagate passivity so that we will continue to accept our chains. When righteous and channeled, anger can be a gift. Only when it is both righteous and channeled effectively. So I'm talking about righteous indignation here, okay? The Hulk energy, I like to call it. All right? The Hulk only hulked up when people wouldn't leave him alone and respect his boundaries, respect him as an individual. They kept trying to come at him and come at him and come at him. Wouldn't leave him alone. The first natural law right is the right to be left alone. If you so wish it, you have the right to be left alone by other people. And as the old saying goes, there's only two kinds of people. The kind of people that want to be left alone and the people who won't leave them alone. The people who won't leave them alone are the statists. It's the government and the supporters of it. You know? The other people just want to be left alone and live their lives in peace. So, the New Age movement and religion is all about eradication of that Hulk energy because they're trying to tell you all anger is negative. No, it is not. The kind of anger that's negative is when it's completely unrighteous. It's just you're getting upset over what you want, okay? And you're not getting upset over a valid, legitimate reason like, oh, I don't know, human freedom is being taken away, you know? Which, you know, no, oh, I'm sorry, the home football team lost the game today. That's something to get real angry about, you know? Forget about human freedom, though. No, don't worry about that. While non-righteous anger and unchanneled anger, okay, are counterproductive to both individual development and collective efforts to bring about positive change, righteous indignation, when it is channeled productively, can be a major motivation to create positive change in the world. Okay, so this meme over here with Howard Beale from the movie Network, which is a phenomenal movie about the manipulation in mainstream media and how it is basically used as a tool for mind control, which was put out, this allegorical film was put out in the mid-1970s. It's still like a perennial favorite among people who look into topics such as this. He had that tagline in the movie, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore." You know, that's righteous indignation because it was about what was happening to the human condition and our rights. So righteous indignation is positive channeled anger, which is there to be felt as an emotional compass to guide us to the way that we need to go, the right action that we need to be taking to create change in the world. Again, as the saying goes, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. You know, the most enlightened among us feel rage at times. It's there to be experienced. It's not something to just purge and say, I want to feel good all the time. That's not what enlightenment is. And that's one of my other points coming up. If you're not feeling like this now, at the time we're living in, more likely than not, it means you're not truly awake. Because if you don't recognize that's what's really going on all around us, if you even have partially the picture, okay? And the reason that you would feel this condition of frustration that person is displaying there is because you know the people around you are all still experiencing self-inflicted suffering because they don't know the truth, that they are still in ignorance of truth about natural law, okay? And how that ignorance is leading to the human condition of slavery and perpetuating more and more self-inflicted suffering, okay? If the condition, knowing how few people really know the causal factors, if that doesn't make you feel frustrated, something's wrong with you, okay? There's something not quite working right in your emotional makeup if you don't feel that from time to time. I'm not saying dwell in that condition. Believe me, I'd be completely immobilized if I were to dwell in that condition. But I'd also be a liar if I told you I don't feel that way sometimes, okay? So, being awake does not mean pursuing perpetual bliss in a world that is currently filled with suffering and slavery. Awakening, enlightenment, is not about you being happy all the time. You hear so much in the New Age movement, follow your bliss. I was just told this on a radio interview, you know. Mark, you're way too serious. You know, why don't you just follow your bliss? Because the whole world is in a state of complete ignorance and self-imposed suffering and essentially completely immoral and is bringing slavery down upon themselves. So I should just want to go out and be blissful all the time. Not to try to educate my fellow human beings. No. Follow your bliss. Okay? I mean, it's so childish. And I'm not putting down the overall happiness and the pursuit of happiness. I'm not saying people don't have a right to be happy. Please don't take my words, misconstrue them to an extreme, and say, he said, if I'm ever happy, I'm an evil person. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? There is certainly a role for happiness in this life, and everybody is entitled to happiness, okay? But making that the sole pursuit or main objective of your life, that's called hedonism. And that's not why we're here, to pursue one pleasure after another. While the inequities and iniquities of our world are running rampant, that's not a sign of enlightenment or awakening, it's exactly the opposite. That's a sign that you're just pursuing self-pleasure. You're stuck in the lower self-identification. And all you want to do is hop from one fix to the next fix. You know? There's nothing enlightened in that. You know, if hearing painful truth regarding the human condition is something that you'd rather not do because it, quote, brings you down, brings you out of your bliss state of mind, you know, New Agers will tell you, hey, don't hit me with all that negativity. You're just being negative. Mind control, pedophilia, slavery, that's so negative, man. You're bringing me down, man. You know? No, you're off in the clouds, not doing your work here on the ground, my friend. That's the truth of the matter. Okay? It's not about being blissed out. You know? You might as well go smoke up some drug and just sit there all day. You know, if that's what you want. Because you're doing the same thing with an emotion. You think an emotion isn't doing that? People who just want to sit and actually not take any real-world action? You know? All that's being done in a state like that, perpetually following bliss, you know, you're pumping in native chemicals into the brain that are called endogenous morphines or endorphins. Endogenous morphines. It's literally putting yourself into a drugged out condition. You know? That's what pursuing a lot of these New Age modalities can do, that are all about inaction. It's not about sitting in one place and meditating all day. You know, it's about actually, I'm not putting down meditation either, folks. Don't take my words to those extremes either. Meditation is a very important practice to bringing consciousness into a place of balance and should be used as a, you know, a mechanism to keep it there as well. Okay, I'm telling you, there's valid applications for meditation, absolutely. And so much could be garnered spiritually from learning about it and practicing it. I'm telling you, that's not all there is to the story, to what's going on here. It's about understanding the self better through that a methodology like that to then get on the battlefield. Get in the war. This is a war that's going on here. It's a spiritual war. That is, that what hangs in the balance is the freedom and evolution of humanity or humanity's enslavement and destruction. And if you don't think that's significant or important, I don't know what to tell you. You know? Then what is? So, you know, when the New Ager tells you, man, you're bringing me down, or I'm trying to hold my space here, you know? Well, you know, pass the opium pipe, why don't you? Well, you might as well. You know, it's the same thing. It's wanting to just be blissed out all the time. And if you believe that that's what it's about, not looking at the ugly truth because you want to maintain your space of bliss, well, I would say you've probably bought into a whole lot of New Age bullshit about what the awakening process is, and the true awakening process has nothing to do with that. Awake means knowing what true forgiveness is. And this could be another difficult one for some people because we've also been lied to about what real forgiveness means. So let me talk about what real forgiveness is not. And first thing, let me state, I'm all for, absolutely all for true forgiveness. Okay, from the heart forgiveness. I am for that. I think that is one of the things that we have to understand to truly learn and grow and advance our consciousness here. But that means we have to know what forgiveness really is. Not this notion that we've bought into about what it's about that it has nothing whatsoever to do with. So this notion, forgive people even if they're not sorry for what they've done, is not forgiveness. If you bought into that notion that that's what forgiveness is, you don't know what forgiveness really is. Okay? True forgiveness does not mean continuing to excuse the willful commission of wrongdoing an infinite number of times. That is naivete at best and cooperation with evil at worst. Okay? That's saying, that person I'm going to allow to remain in perpetual no moral culpability. Perpetual letting go of whatever moral culpability or responsibility that they have for their own behavior. And there's nothing enlightened in saying that another person can do that by just continuing to do the same wrong action over and over again. And you just say, oh, it's okay, let it go, I'll let it go. It's not about letting things go. Letting go, letting too many evil things go is what has gotten us into the situation we're in. Because we don't want to get up in people's face and say, you're wrong about what you're doing there and it needs to stop. And if you don't willfully recognize your wrongdoing and stop it, I'm going to make it stop. You know, too many people won't go into that masculine dynamic. You know, by saying, I'm going to bring you this information and you have a right to pay attention to it and then change your behavior if what you have been doing is violent. Okay? But that doesn't mean if you don't change your behavior after I've already given you that information that I think you should just be allowed to continue to do that behavior that is violent and evil unchecked. That's completely naive. That's asking for more. Okay? That's the abuse victim in a victim of abusive relationship. Okay? That is being victimized and doesn't care enough about themselves to say, I'm not going to take this anymore. And they continue to allow the abuse to happen. Now, they are complicit at that point. That doesn't mean that they deserve what was happening to them, but they have become complicit in that abuse victim cycle when they refuse to say no. And that's where the powers that should not be want us. They want us in this state where we think forgiveness is something that it is not and will never say no. True forgiveness is not about turning the other cheek in the traditional sense that people consider turning the other cheek. In biblical scripture, turning the other cheek was about continuing to give family members and friends and people that you care about more chances to understand the truth about what's really going on that they couldn't see before by continuing to go back to them and speaking the truth to them over and over again, even if they spit on you or slapped the gift that you were trying to hand them out of your hand upon the first many attempts. And you continue to do that. Okay? I will continue to talk to people who have slapped the wisdom I'm trying to hand to them out of my hand, okay, in the reach of friendship to them. I'll continue to go back and do that until they say, don't ever speak to me again. Then I'll respect that and I'll say, I'll never talk to you again. Okay? Most family members won't do that. I told them, you want me to stop talking about this with you? This is my moral obligation to do it. This is what I'm going to talk about every time we see each other, unless you tell me you never want to talk to me again. Because it's my free will to talk to you about what I feel you need to understand, and it's your free will to say, no, I never want to hear any information from you. But I said, you're going to have to tell me you never want to speak to me again. And I'll go away and I will never come back. I'll respect people's boundaries like that, sure. They have a right to be left alone. But as long as I'm in their presence and they haven't told me I want you away from me for good, I'm speaking the truth in their presence, period. And is that force? Yes, it is force, but it is not violence. Violence is remaining willfully ignorant in the presence of truth, and then the resultant actions continue to do harm to others as a result. That's violence. So going back to this notion of turning the other cheek, you know, if we do it in the sense that most people think of it, that's what it gets you. It helps to even out the scars. You know, when somebody who's being brutal with you, is doing their work, and you just say, hey, let me have another, you're going to get another. Okay? That's how a psychopath operates. The psychopath doesn't care about you. A psychopath is essentially an animal running on pure instinct. It's not really a human being. Human being has emotional capacity to empathize with other people. Unfortunately, we're living here with more than one We're living here with more than one intellectual species. I almost said intelligent, and I caught myself. We're living here with more than one intellectual species on this planet, and the psychopath is one of them. Okay? Purely instinctual creature with intellect, okay? And a whole lot of will to carry out their desires that doesn't have the capacity to feel emotion. And what a psychopath will do is it'll keep giving you scars all day long. And the next day, and the day after that too. Until you say no and make them stop. True forgiveness does not mean continuing to excuse the willful commission of wrongdoings an infinite number of times. That's not what it is. That's setting yourself up for George Orwell's condition of the boot stamping on the human face for eternity, which we're already well down the path of, because we want to think we never have a right to say no and respond with defensive force. Now, I'm not telling you I want it to be done that way, folks. Let me overemphasize that. I think forceful revolutions are ultimately failure. Because until we can get it done in consciousness, it's not going to stick. That's why the last American Revolution was ultimately a failure. Are we not right back where we were? You know it. What didn't change? The consciousness of the people didn't change. And guess what? If we have to do it again that way, then let it be done, you know? I'll be ready for that eventuality too. I don't have all my eggs in that basket, probably not even half of them, but I have some in that basket. I have enough maybe to survive it, maybe not. But if it comes to that, I'll be there. I don't want it to come to that. I want to get this done in the realm of mind, in the causal realm, where it will stay. It will stay applied. And we won't have to do this in another 100 or 200 years. You know? That's why they call it a revolution. You just go round the wheel of karma all over again. That's why it's called a revolution. We need a revolution in mind. Let's talk about what real forgiveness actually is. It's different than letting go. People want to equate these things of letting go, okay? Letting go is a one-way process. That may, like, somebody, for example, I'll go back to my friend Jay Parker, abused by his own family members in a satanic cult when he was young, okay? The family members are never going to apologize for what they did. They're psychopathic. They're satanic psychopaths, okay? What he has done regarding that dynamic isn't forgive his family members. He has let go. And is not saying it's necessary for me to get vengeance or revenge, okay? I can let go of a need for vengeance or revenge. That's not what forgiveness, you know, about getting back at somebody, all right? Letting go means I can just do that. I can let it go. It doesn't mean I've forgiven you. Forgiveness is a two-way street. It involves the person who committed the wrong using those three powerful words, saying, I was wrong. Then you can forgive them by saying, I acknowledge that you are sorry for what you have done, and I am taking your word beforehand, before you do anything else, hence forgiveness. I'm taking what you are giving me in advance, your word that you will not continue to do that same behavior again. And therefore, we're okay. I am not going to try to exact any vengeance or penalty or anything from you. Okay? We're even as long as you don't do the same thing again. So true forgiveness is always a two-way street involving both the wrongdoer and those who were wronged. It is not a one-way process where the person who is wronged just says, I forgive you, and it's done. That's not forgiveness. That is the process of mentally letting go, which is also very important and should be practiced in the condition where you know the person's not sorry and is not going to change. That's release from attachment, okay, to them, to you wanting them to change or be sorry for what they have done that they are not sorry for. That's an important thing too, is that kind of release from attachment, because that'll eat you up inside. Okay? So if you let that go and you say, I'm no longer going to be angry about what happened, I accept it, violence was done, I can't undo the past, and I'm letting it go. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is when somebody says, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Will you let this go? Let us be even, I won't do it again. That's real forgiveness. A sincere apology starts with the words, I was wrong, on the part of the wrongdoer. And what they're doing by that is they're telling the truth, admitting what they had done was wrong, and then they're telling you they're going to cease in their engagement in their previously violent behavior. That's where true forgiveness begins. That's where true reconciliation must begin. It's a two-way street. Okay?
Let's continue with Mark.
Being awake means knowing the difference between what cannot be changed versus what should be changed. Okay, now, a New Ager once told me, Mark, never... Now, listen to this statement, see if you can pick up the inherent contradiction in it. Before I started doing this series of lectures, somebody said to me, you should never say you should to anybody. Think about that for a minute. You should never say you should to anybody else. This New Age, the person who had bought into this New Age nonsense had actually just broken the very thing that they told me never to engage in. Okay? Of course you should say you should not do something that is wrong to somebody else. The entire problem with the world is that too many people have sat back, watched violence and evil take place in their presence, and not said to the person that was engaging in it, you should not do that. That's why we're where we're at. We need to know the difference between what cannot be changed and what should be changed. Okay? And I illustrate this concept with the original version, the original unadulterated version of Reinhold Niebuhr's Prayer of Serenity. This is given in a lot of the 12-step programs for alcoholism and other addictions, okay? But in those 12-step programs, it's completely watered down. It's changed. It's not Niebuhr's Prayer of Serenity. It's a variant of it. It's more like a plagiarism of it, if you will. Okay? They've tried to take most of his words, but they've changed enough of it that it completely changes the deep core meaning of this very, very powerful invocation. Okay? And here's how it went in the original before it was modified. God, give me grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed. The courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Now, do you hear the difference in that versus, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things which I can change, and the wisdom to know the difference, which is how they're teaching this, the variant that they're using in the 12-step programs. First of all, there's no word I in this prayer, okay? It's saying, give me grace. Let me accept grace from creation to accept with serenity, with surrender, the things that cannot be changed. And what are the things that cannot be changed? The laws of nature. Natural law, moral law. That's what has to be accepted with grace and serenity. Those are the things that cannot be changed by anything we are capable of doing. Those laws work that way 100% of the time, flawlessly and unwaveringly. The next part of the prayer says, grant me the courage to change the things which should be changed. That's saying, give me the courage to take action when I recognize injustice is taking place around me. And I'm going to try to change the things that should be changed. It's not about you on the microcosmic scale saying, can I change these things in my life? Can I not change these things in my life? It's not about you. This is something that goes back. This isn't about self-identification. This is about agape. Wider care, universal care about what's taking place in the world. That's what this prayer is about. Okay? To change the things which I know are wrong and should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish what is that which cannot be changed in nature versus what should be changed in our experience here on earth. What is governed by free will? Okay? Therefore, if we change the behaviors that we're taking through our free will, the manifested result can be different. That's what we should change. What cannot be changed, the laws of morality, they have to be accepted, they have to be harmonized with. Our behavior has to be harmonized with them. That's all we can do, is discover them and then live in harmony with them. So it's shortened often to accept what you can't change and change what you can't accept. And I can get behind that. That's a nice, simple, abbreviated version of that. It says it. While slavery, and this is all about distinguishing that one state from the other state, is slavery the current human condition? Yes, it is. We have to recognize that. Okay? But the human condition that we are existing in right now can be changed. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy, because that would be blowing smoke up your rear end. Okay? If I was a New Ager, I'd tell you, hey, let's just all meditate in this room today and we'll change the world. It's not going to be that easy, folks. As a matter of fact, it's going to be a whole lot damn harder than all that. It's going to involve a lot of work and struggle and self-sacrifice and courage and persistence. Persistence. Constancy. Willpower. Effort. That's what it's going to take. That's what the great work to change the human condition is going to take. All that and then more. The laws of nature, however, cannot be changed. They are eternally set in stone, so to speak. They are what is there. It is going to be, it has been that way, it is this way now, and it is going to be this way. See, people get these things confused. They think we can change the law, but the human condition is eternal. It's exactly the other way around. The human condition can be changed, but true law cannot be changed. It's exactly the other way around from where most people have it in their mind. Oh, we can change that law, quote unquote, meaning man's law, you know? But, oh, the human condition, you want to change that human beings exist in a state of slavery. Oh, that's always been that way. It is that way now. It's always going to be that way. No. That's a choice. That's that way because of the behaviors that are in effect. And the natural law is bringing us the consequences of those behaviors. Well, when thinking that underlies behavior changes, the behavior will change, and then the consequences will change, and you'll get a different result. That can be changed. The laws of nature, however, cannot be changed. Humanity, the reason the human condition stays the way that it is because humanity has not yet willed the human condition to change because we continue to ignore the laws of nature which govern the consequences of the human condition. Think about it for a moment. We ignore the laws of nature which govern the condition. And we want the condition to change? You know? Unbelievable. That's like saying, yeah, do me a favor, listen, can you reverse time for a moment so the glass I just dropped on the floor can unbreak and come up to the table? Well, it doesn't work that way. The laws of nature don't work that way. Sorry about that. Can I take my garden hose and keep spraying wet laundry and expect it to become dry so that I can put my clothes on? No. Because you're adding the same polarity that wets them. The laws of nature don't work that way. Can you keep all the institutions in the world that have controlled people's mind and therefore led their behavior into immorality and thus led the people into slavery and keep those institutions in place, keep government in place, keep money in place, keep religion in place, we want to magically have freedom? Yeah, that works about as well as stepping off the building and expecting not to get hurt. It works just as well as lighting your house on fire and expect everything in the house to just remain perfectly intact. You know? It's madness. People want to be God in this respect. They want to be the arbiters of law and truth. They want to say, see, I ask people, do you want to suffer? And that nobody says they want to suffer. And I believe them. I believe at their heart, even at a subconscious level, nobody truly really wants to suffer. Nobody hates themselves so much that they say, listen, I really want to suffer. I love it. Okay? Here's what they're really admitting. And then you say, well, are you willing to do the things that are required to change the condition that has led to suffering, and therefore the suffering won't be present? No, I'm not willing to do that. You know, please. But, you know, I don't believe that that just means that the person just eternally hates themselves, you know, or that they want to suffer. I think what they really want is they want to have their cake and eat it too. I want to be able to eat this slice of cake, but I still want it to be on the plate after I'm finished eating it. Well, it doesn't work that way. Sorry to burst your bubble. Okay? I want the eternally full bottle of water. I can drink the bottle down and then I put it down and it's magically full again. Well, the laws of nature don't work that way. So if you're not willing to do the things that are required to change the condition, why would you expect the condition to change magically on its own? The laws of nature do not work that way. Period. That's it. So you cannot have all the things that are currently in place and say, I want freedom. Well, it doesn't work that way. Sorry, but that's not how it works. These institutions which are blocking access to true freedom need to be destroyed. When you're willing to do that and let go of those erroneous belief systems that are keeping you in a cage, then you'll be free. Until then, expect to live in the cage and enjoy your surroundings and circumstances. You know, that's it. That's all the universe is saying to us. Because the laws of nature do not care about you. They are giving you what you are giving you. That's the will of creation. The will of creation is what do you will for yourself? And creation's always going to say yes. Well, here's the laws. Here's how they work. You will this condition? That's what's required. That's a requirement under the law. You want to do that? You can have that. No, I don't want to do that. Can't have that then. That's it. And it doesn't care. You want to build a house? You're going to need building materials. You can't build a house from thought. You want to get that done? You've got to assemble the building materials. That's how a physical law works. Well, you want freedom? There's building materials involved. And there's things that you, if there's a structure already built here and you want to build a different structure, well, you can't build this and two things can't exist simultaneously in the same space. Well, you got structures that have built slavery here on the earth. You can't have them still built and still operational and have freedom at the same time. Laws of nature don't work like that, folks. Get over it. You know? But that's what people want to think. I could be the arbiter of truth and law. And what that really is at a low level of wanting to be God. So I call this our appointment with destiny. This is a new take on the old saying, what you resist persists, which is a bunch of New Age mumbo jumbo. No, if you resist tyranny, you'll probably put it down if you have enough resistance against tyranny. If you resist natural law, you'll definitely have slavery. Okay? What you resist doesn't persist. Here's how this really works. This is the original teaching that was taught in the mystery tradition schools and was bastardized and watered down over thousands of years to come to us in the New Age variant of what you resist persists. The conditions that have manifested as a result of what you have been wrongly resisting is that which will continue to persist. So has humanity been wrongly resisting natural law, morality, the moral law of the universe? Yes. What has it received as a result of that? A little thing called slavery has been perpetuated because of that. Okay? Will that continue to exist? If you continue to resist moral law, yes, it will. That's how the law of resistance works. It's not what you resist persists. It's what you haven't gotten. You're still resisting it. So now the condition that you've been receiving as a result of what you haven't understood and you've been resistant to understanding, you're going to get more of that. You're going to keep getting that. You're going to get it in ever greater abundance and frequency too. Which is why we're at the tipping point, at the point where, you know, things are ready to really, really rapidly go downhill. Again, I don't say any of that because I'm fear-mongering. You know? Nature is only going to take so much before a tipping point goes off. You know? And then it's on. You know? We mess with nature enough, then it's going to say, all right, boys and girls, it's on. And, you know, good luck when it gets to that point. You know? But we're already a long way into that because we're standing in front of a freight train saying, watch me stop this 200 mile an hour train with my own hand. Watch. You'll see. Yeah. Good luck. So, you know, you want to stand against nature? It's going to be a splat. Don't be that guy. Good advice.
If you'd like to talk to me after the show, call in 5 minutes prior to the show ending. Dial 516-531-9476. I hope you enjoyed tonight's seminar series. We will continue this series for weeks to come, so please come back on next Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern time for the continuation of this series. What it truly means to be awake. Visit my main website at www.awaken-us.org for more information on upcoming shows, events, podcasts, book signings, and much more. And reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. I will now accept any callers to the show. Dial 516-531-9476. That's 516-531-9476. Press number 1 to speak with me.
Understand, ain't here to judge, just to take a stand. The greater plan, the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out in touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like his native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man.
If you don't care.